characterization and agronomic expertise to get the right product, population, and placement, all for one flat price per acre. Learn how at ghxc.com/connect.
At Boot Barn, we believe the cowboy boot is the foundation for a life well lived. We work, we raise, we break bread, and tomorrow it starts again. This life requires a boot that supports perseverance. Ariat boots undergo 150 steps to ensure performance. Boot Barn carries over 250,000 Ariat boots nationwide, because out west, tenacity is second to none. Ariat at Boot Barn.
Finances can be so intimidating, but since I've started using Dave, the banking app, managing my money is much easier. Dave shows me how much I have left to spend after my routine expenses. And if I'm short on cash, Dave's extra cash advances me the money I need, up to $500 in 5 minutes or less. No interest, no credit check, no late fees. Download the Dave app or go to dave.com/easy.
Dave is not a bank. Banking services provided by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Eligibility criteria apply, subject to bank approval. Service and or instant transfer fees may apply. Advances typically approved in 5 minutes.
Listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the FAA has issued a notice to Air Mission banning U.S. civil flights near Haiti's airspace below 10,000 feet for the next month. That after Haitian gangs fired shots at a Spirit Airlines plane. ABC's Connor Finnegan has more.
The plane was just about 550 feet off of the ground when pilots had to divert to the neighboring Dominican Republic. One flight attendant on board suffered minor injuries during the action. Multiple airlines now have suspended their services, including JetBlue and American Airlines. The airport there in Port-au-Prince remains closed.
President-elect Trump's transition team announcing former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee will serve as U.S. ambassador to Israel. Vice President Kamala Harris returned to her duties at the White House today following the election, greeted to cheers as she exited her vehicle. Senate Republicans set to vote on a new leader tomorrow to replace outgoing Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, John Thune, and Rick Scott among those in the running. This is ABC News. More than 100 scientists sending an open letter to the FCC saying they're concerned about the environmental impact of the world's new space race.
3, 2, 1.
At Florida's Cape Canaveral Monday, spectators were treated to not one.
3, 2, 1. Ignition.
But two SpaceX launches, one carrying a Korean communication satellite, the other hauling 24 Starlink satellites into orbit. In their letter to the FCC, the astronomers complained that no study has been done on the effect of mega constellations of satellites on air quality, on the risk to people on Earth, and the danger to astronauts aboard the International Space Station. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
A frigid feat at the bottom of the world. An ultramarathon taking place in Antarctica, where runners brave 13 below zero temperatures racing on ice for a total of 100 miles. The two winners were Americans in this ultimate test of endurance, crossing the finish line in 23 hours and 22 minutes. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. The Wisconsin Supreme Court heard oral arguments Monday on whether or not the state's 1849 ban on abortions will be upheld in favor of newer laws allowing for abortions up to 20 weeks. While Assistant Attorney General Hannah Jurs says the old law was considered dead by the legislature when it created the new law, Attorney Matthew Tome, arguing for Sheboygan County DA Joel Ermansky, says the old law is still in effect, having never been explicitly repealed.
All we're asking is that this court apply a policy decision that the legislature made via the statute that it put on the book.
It's expected the old law will be tossed out by the liberal majority on the court when a ruling is issued. The state superintendent of public instruction is proposing an additional $3 billion in new investments for public schools.
Jill Underley's proposal includes increasing special education reimbursement to 90%, provide per pupil adjustments to revenue limits, limit property tax increases, index revenue limits to inflation for the first time in 15 years, and fund several grant programs. Underley says the investments would reduce the number of referendums for operating costs in local communities by having the state step up to its responsibilities. The Department of Public Instruction's overall budget request, expected to be released in full later this month, will propose more than $4 billion towards K-12 public education. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
City of Sheboygan is responding to a ransomware attack in its computer network. City officials say an investigation discovered the unauthorized access from an external party on Sunday. The city has since secured its network and is working on a thorough forensic review to comprehend the scope of that attack. While they haven't discovered that any sensitive personal information has been compromised, those affected will be notified as soon as possible. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
It was time to make our own Christmas traditions. For years, we've been trekking to both sets of in-laws, both Christmas dinners. It was just too much. So this year, we started to look for a place to get together in Alexandria, Minnesota. Christmas lights that will light up our kids' faces. A new adventure. Create some wonder. It makes us wonder, why didn't we do this sooner?
Start planning your time together in the Lakes area. Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Partly sunny and pleasant today, with a breezy wind now pulling out of the southeast. It'll warm us up to highs in the upper 40s. And with clouds increasing tonight, it'll keep our lows mild in the mid-30s. All ahead of rain rolling in by tomorrow evening. For fall and winter getaways, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. Right now, it's 41 degrees.
Wheat and soy complex futures extended yesterday's losses. That pulled corn down to a second consecutive lower close. The cattle complex rallied to test overhead resistance. Lean hogs pushed to the upside, and cotton felt the pressure of another surge in the value of the U.S. dollar.
Live, it's a spunky kind of day via Farm Journal broadcast, and this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Kevin Dooling from KD Investors. Directly following the news, Brian Split from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, welcome your beloved, benevolent host, Chip Flory.
How do you like that? A very recent voice from AgriTalk and a brand new voice on AgriTalk, all on the same show. How do you like that?
I'll tell you how I like it. I like it a lot. A lot.
Fantastic. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis Michelson.
Yes, sir.
And you know, I was so excited about the weather this morning. Yeah, it was crisp.
You were.
Yeah, it was a little chilly, but at least the sun was. Yeah, the sun has kind of gone away on me.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
What's next?
Well, as far as I understand, it's going to be raining here tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, that's okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll probably be all right. We'll make it through it. We'll make it through
sure.
it. New voice. Brand new voice on AgriTalk today. Kevin Dooling, KD Investors out in the PNW, out in Oregon. Looking forward to the conversation with Kevin, looking forward to getting to know Kevin a little bit and his style of analysis and get an idea of what he thinks about what's going to be happening here in the corn, soybean, and wheat markets. So looking forward to getting to know him. And, of course, we had Brian on the show yesterday afternoon, did a kind of a deep dive into corn and soybeans and He's going to be back with an update on what is happening in some of the markets here in just a bit. All right, man, you ready? Let's go ahead and get started.
I think I'm ready. I've got wheat export inspections in the week ended November 7, totaling 347,000 metric tons. That was at the high end of trade expectations, but it did nothing to support wheat prices. Wheat futures were pressured by another rally in the U.S. dollar index, which saw a high of 106.18. Next resistance for the dollar at the 52-week high of 106.52. Increased precipitation in Russia's southern region, eastern Ukraine, and western Kazakhstan also relieved some crop concerns, although more rain is needed for better establishment there. December soft red winter wheat futures opened slightly lower and tried to rally before setting back to spike support at yesterday's low. Front month SRW did recover to close just above that support level. December HRW wheat futures 13 cents lower at 546 and one half. December soft red wheat down 13 and one quarter to 552 and a quarter. And December spring wheat closed at 577 and three quarters. Chip, that's down 14 and one quarter cents on the day.
You want to talk about missing a bullish headline. This wheat market is really missing a bullish headline right now. It needs something in here to stem the selling pressure that we saw today, no doubt.
Well, corn export inspections week ended November 7 totaled 793,000 metric tons, in line with trade expectations. USDA this morning also announced the sale of 110,500 metric tons of U.S. corn to Mexico. That's for delivery in the current marketing year, but that was not enough to offset spillover pressure from losses in the wheat market. Mm-hmm. Traders also note the slow start to the rainy season in Argentina is limiting selling in corn futures. December corn futures traded on both sides of pivotal 430 for a third consecutive session, Chip. The contract posted a mid-range open and a low-range close. December corn futures were a penny and one-half lower at 428 and one-half. March corn down two and a half, 440 and one-quarter. July corn futures closed at 450 and three-quarters, down two and one-quarter cents, Chip.
Corn felt like it wanted to move to the upside today. I'm just going to throw that out there. It felt like corn wanted to move to the upside. We'll see what Kevin thinks about that thought in just a bit.
Export inspections of soybeans week ended November 7 totaled 2.28 million metric tons. That was at the high end of trade expectations. Bean prices were pulled lower early in the session by sharp losses in soybean oil futures. Bean meal traded higher early in the session and then dropped to post another new contract low, Chip. The losses in bean oil futures erased all of last week's advance. January soybean futures opened higher and tried to rally and then dropped to post a low range close. January beans were 11 and three quarters lower at 10.10 and one half. March beans down 12 and three quarters, 10.22 and a half. July beans closed at 10.46 and three quarters cents. That's down 13 and three quarters cents. Man, this is a little hard to read right now, Chip. Enough already.
It really is. It's a little hard to listen to right now, too.
Yeah.
And if you checked in on the markets at mid-morning and were thinking, hey, this isn't so bad, when you came back at the close and looked at what happened in that soy complex, it was not all that encouraging.
Can confirm, yes. December cotton today, 92 points lower, 68.77. On your livestock, the average cash cattle price last week fell $3.29 from the previous week, but remained at a premium to front-month futures. Boxed beef prices this morning extended yesterday's gains with heavyweight choice graded boxed beef up 61 cents. December fat cattle today up 70 cents to 184.40. January feeder futures $1.32 and one half higher at 243.57 and a half. And on the snout side, lean hogs opened on session lows, spiked 82.50, then pulled back to close just below that resistance. D's hogs today 57 and one half cents higher, 82.35. Over to you, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring back Brian Split, agmarket.net. Hey, buddy, how's things going today?
Oh, good. It's a Tuesday.
Good.
We're almost halfway through the week. That's great.
Yep. Give me an update on what's happening in that soy complex.
Big volatility there, right? So we had the report day high, and USDA trimmed the yield quite a bit more than expected. And since then, and it really just has taken two sessions, yesterday and today, we've already retraced 62% of what would be the rally off of those late October lows. So this market is moving very freely where 980 is essentially the lower end of the range. 10-20 is kind of the upper end of the range with the exception of that report trade. So we very quickly just dipped right back into that predominant range of 980 to 1020 in Jan Beans. What I think looks really cheap right now, and this is just what it looks, right? But meal. Meal had lows when we think about like the COVID time frame, right before things really took off. We were making lows around 280, right? $280 a ton. December closed at 292.9 today, right? So we're within $15 of COVID lows in meal. Now think about beans. Beans, the lows we had during COVID were down at 808. So we're like $2 higher in beans versus meal being, you know, and we're talking $15 in meals, like $1,500, right? That's 30 cents in bean land as far as the monetary equivalent. So I just think this meal market is really down at the low end here where we've seen it recover from below 300 up to 330 to 350 very rapidly in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Yeah. If that meal market would start to recover, it would at least put some sort of a floor or a float under that bean market. I got to believe that that would happen. Hey, man, thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again really soon.
All right. Thanks, Chip. Appreciate it.
Yep. Brian Split, agmarket.net. Coming up, a new voice on AgriTalk. We've got Kevin Dooling, KD Investors, next year on AgriTalk.
Welcome to the soothing sounds of Cropland Seed. It's the kind of sound you only get with broad access to high-performing genetics and traits and years of data from extensive testing. Also, retailers can recommend what will work best in your fields. Take some stress out of your season. Talk to your local retail seed expert about Cropland Seed today.
The next disaster is coming. The time to get ready is now. Make a plan. Identify meetup locations and people you'll need to contact. Put your contact list in your wallet, on your phone, and somewhere visible in your home. Build a kit. Store enough food and water for 3 days. Don't forget your pets. And consider buying a pre-made kit. Keep at least 7 days of medication on hand. Work with your pharmacist and insurance company to secure the extra doses. Make copies of important documents. Keep them on your phone, in the cloud, or on a USB stick. Stay informed. Learn about local hazards. Take courses in CPR and first aid. And sign up for local alert systems. An early warning can give you the time you need to prepare for a fast-moving disaster. Be ready. Learn more at americares.org/sendusin.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Building a new home or remodeling and need a new plumber? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a perk test or septic system? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need sewer line cleaning or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a new water heater or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. From basic plumbing to big projects, call Chris Bauer of Bauer Plumbing and Septic Service at 715-672-8224. That's 715-672-8224.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Stressed down and running
Welcome back to Agri Talk. I am Chip. Glad that you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Kevin Dooling, KD Investors. I've heard him on Markets Now with Michelle Rook. I've seen him on U.S. Farm Report with Tyne Morgan. But I've never had Kevin on the show before until right now. Kevin, welcome to Agri Talk, man.
Hey, thanks a ton for the invite. I'm excited to be here. So
glad that you're here. So first time on the show, introduce yourself. Tell us about KD Investors.
All right. Well, after college, went to Oregon State University, came home to a farm on the east side of the Cascades. So not Portland, not Eugene, not that Oregon. And we, just your typical dryland wheat farm. And we raise a few other things, but I always loved the markets. That was kind of my first love about the business. And, a neighbor figured that out and he bugged me one day and he says, "Hey, would you, I hate these markets. Would you just mind doing it for me and just helping with that?" And so I said, "Sure." So I helped him out. And this was not in my wheelhouse. This is not something I expected to do, not a career path I had planned on. So after helping him for a year or two, I thought the Oregon Wheat publication. I thought, I'll just, set up a small business structure, throw an ad out. Well, that just happened to be right after the 2008 housing crash, right? And so all these grass seed producers are in the Willamette Valley were being forced to raise wheat, and they didn't really want to or know where to sell it or how to sell it. So great timing on the ad. So all of a sudden I got a flood of those guys, and then anyway, that just kind of exploded after that. And it's, now we're, in Canada, Australia, all of the U.S. and, pretty great. A lot of that
is awesome.
Comes from, so that's what we do now. Farming, I help during harvest and seeding when it's busy. Otherwise I'm in the office. So.
Gotcha. Kevin, I'm telling you, when neighboring farmers asked me to do jobs that they didn't want to do, it usually involved cattle or hog manure. It had nothing to do with marketing.
Right, I know. Well, as you can tell by today's markets, markets are kind of miserable, right? It's not exactly, something you get up and excited to see every day. So,
Gotcha.
They can wear on it.
So when you get up in the morning, what's the first thing you check? Is it? Are you looking at the fundamentals in the market, or are you looking at a chart?
The first thing I'll look is at the price. Let's see where everything's at, what's going on, the overnight stuff, and then we'll flip over and start looking for the fundamental chatter. What's happening, and then it's quick to the weather, quick to the macros, and I don't know. It's just kind of a long routine, but it's important.
Yeah, you blend technical and fundamental analysis. I do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do. I do for sure.
Yep.
And
good.
If you're following the text every day, you kind of got all those points in your mind, and you can see with the first by looking at the price, have we violated anything? Did we achieve something? You're watching. So
right, absolutely. Okay, I want to start with wheat, because I haven't started with wheat with an analyst for quite some time. What's the role of the wheat market in the grains right now?
That's a frustrating one. I think it's got so many different things hitting it. You talked about the dollar earlier in the show, and that's one of the big drivers. But at the same time, you've got wheat's typically a spread market, right? It's the hedge fund favorite trade on the planet is to buy soybeans and sell wheat. And that's been one of their gravy trains forever. And, the fundamentals don't really line up for that this year, so we may not see it. I wonder if we're seeing a little of that spread action in the corn market. As you can see, funds are starting to develop a long position there. So, but wheat is typically, unless we flat run out of the stuff, it's typically just a hedge for something else. So it's at least the way I see it. And it didn't used to be that way. you go back 20, 30 years, and it's when I started looking at these things, and it was not, that was not the case. So,
right.
So it's definitely a changing market.
Interesting perspective, really interesting perspective. And the thing is, Kevin, when you look at the global numbers here, maybe not so much the domestic numbers, but when you look at the global numbers, there's, we might have a story going forward, right?
Oh, massively. Yeah, it's amazing. And I think what really, really kicked this off and got my antenna up was this fall when we went through the Northern Hemisphere planting window below the cost of production with high inputs. And so not only did Russia, Ukraine, the U.S., and Europe drop acreage, I mean, the only acreage that's going in is what has to go in, and you're looking at a people backing off on inputs as well. So talk about a you know, a train that's going to hit at some point coming forward in the next 12 months. That's going to be massive. So,
what's the most important thing that you're watching right now in this wheat market?
You know, probably just the pace of the U.S. export sales. They've been fantastic. We've been rolling. We're way, way above last year's pace. And this is despite the high dollar. We continue to roll it out the door. You know, white wheat's up, what, almost 50% over last wheat. I mean, last year, I don't know if I have the hard red numbers off, but they're up about 20%, I believe, 15 to 20% over last year's pace. Hard red springs up 20 to 30 over last year's pace. So that's what, I guess for me to get my confirmation bias, that's what I need to see. I need to see the continuation of exports, because that's what makes the balance sheet make sense to me, because Russia's going to run out here by, not going to run out, but they're going to start restricting heavily, you know, probably January-ish, and Europe's got quality problems. So that just going to leave us in the Southern Hemisphere. So,
okay.
But
Kevin, help corn and soybean guys understand wheat exports a little bit better here, because, you know, at this time of the year, if we don't get a weekly export sales tally on soybeans of 2 million tons, something's wrong. Corn, you like to be 1.5 million. What's a good number that you're looking for on that weekly export sales report?
You know, at this stage of the game, as far ahead as we are, if we can go 300,000, we're doing great. That's ahead of the pace. That's ahead of the pace. Just 300,000 tons, all we need. So, and, you know, Portland, I mean, they make their money. They make their money on corn and soybean exports. Wheat, they don't like to do it unless they have to do it. So the fall, it gets, so you'll start seeing wheat inspections drop off, but that's because they're focused on corn and soybeans. The stuff's moving down the pipeline. So,
okay.
And that's great to see. It's like every time I go to town, which is, you know, 50 miles away, it's on the Columbia River, and you see the unit trains roaring by out of the Midwest. So it's great to see those things.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. I want to talk more about corn and soybeans when we come back after the break. But first, talk to me about the white wheat market. That white wheat market is a market that's, you know, it's mostly, well, it is a cash market, and a cash market only, isn't it?
Well, it is. Yeah, they use Chicago to hedge it, but I mean, it's
okay.
So we have a basis we run off the Chicago market, but it's it's a premium product. It's the Asians love it. We seem to have the better quality than the Australians. The Australians have a little protein, a little higher protein content. So they'll buy that in replacement of us if it's cheap enough, but they prefer ours. But yeah, that Asian rim, and even into Central America a little bit now, we're starting to develop some markets. So yeah, it's a good premium market. I don't think it'll ever disappear.
Yeah, well, and it's a market that I think is gaining traction here in the U.S. I never used to worry that much about the kind of bread that I was buying, but now I pass by the bread aisle if I can't get my whole white wheat bread, Kevin. So,
yeah. You know, like I say, you get some hard white varieties out there. And that's what's so hard about wheat. If you got 7 or 8 different varieties of the stuff in this country, and 3 exchanges – and so it spreads out spreads out the selling. I mean, it makes it a miserable market to trade, really.
Yeah, so. It can. There's no question about it. Okay, Kevin, we got to take a break. When we come back, I want to stay on wheat for just a little bit. Give me an idea on how you see this wheat market trading into the first quarter of 2025. And then let's break down this corn and soybean market as well. We are talking with Kevin Dooling, KD Investors up in Oregon. We'll be back with Kevin and more right here on AgriTalk.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page of ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where December HRW wheat futures were 13 cents lower at 546 and one half. December soft red wheat down 13 and one quarter to 552 and a quarter. December corn futures were a penny and a half lower at 428 and a half. March corn down 2.5 cents to 440 and a quarter. January soybean futures were 11 and three quarter cents lower at 1010 and one half. March beans down 12 and three quarter cents to 1022 and one half. December cotton today 92 points lower, 68.77. On your livestock, December fat cattle were up 70 cents, 184.40. January feeder futures $1.32 and a half higher, 243.57 and one half. And December hogs today 57 and a half cents higher at 82.35. Try ProFarmer.com.
Wake up.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. When you start to think about planting roots and building your foundation for spring, fertilizing crops is like putting money in the bank. You put dollars or pounds in, but are your investments paying you interest? Or does it seem like you only get out what you put in, or even less? Soil health and living biology are the ticket to unlocking the next bushel. Farming for Biology takes a customized approach. Let my team help create your soil health strategy. Check out our website or give us a call today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Partly sunny and pleasant today, with a breezy wind now pulling out of the southeast. It'll warm us up to highs in the upper 40s, and with clouds increasing tonight, it'll keep our lows mild in the mid-30s. All ahead of rain rolling in by tomorrow evening. For fall and winter getaways, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. Right now, it's 41 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG. I got a hankering for getting
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We are in the middle of a conversation with Kevin Dooling, KD Investors out in Oregon. Kevin, okay, we've set the groundwork for this, so let's summarize your thoughts on wheat and tell me what you think this wheat trade looks like into the first quarter of 2025.
Well, I've kind of coined about 6 months ago, I thought we're going to start to feel a little more tight in the cash markets in that first quarter, in that third quarter of the wheat marketing year, which is the first quarter of 25. I think that's when we're finally start turning the corner on this thing. And it's apt to be a cash market led rally, just kind of like we've been seeing in corn. You know, that world demand, which it continues to grow every year. I mean, it's on a USDA's got us flat for 5 years in a row, and that's never happened in history. So typically when we come out of something like that, you're looking for a 30 to 40 million metric ton increase. And that's going to lead to some problems next year with those planting problems we had this fall. So, you know, the question isn't if this thing's going to move. It's like, when do we finally start to see it? And I've pegged that first quarter of 25 as that time. So okay. We'll okay. see if it goes that way.
Let me play a little bit of devil's advocate here, because part of that in the first quarter is going to include a change in the administration. It's going to include a change in USTR. We're going back to the future on both of those with the move back to President Trump and the move back to Robert Lighthizer at USTR. Does that change your outlook? Does it do anything to your outlook at all?
I think we're going to be tight enough overall in the long range that it's not going to matter. But in the short term, yes, it could delay it. It just depends what kind of surprises we get. I think that's everybody's, when we talk tariffs, when we talk new policy, whatnot, it's all just unknowns at this point, I think. And I feel like the buyers are on that same page, and they're wanting to see what happens as well. So no, I agree with you. It's just change is coming. I mean, big change, and it looks like fairly big changes are coming to the political landscape. But it's going to be back to the, you know, 4 years ago plus. But I think more so, given his cabinet choices, I think we're going to see a lot more action this round. So I think there's going to be big changes in everything. So
right.
You know, how do you?
Yeah, he's not moving slowly in the direction of the White House. He's sprinting back to the White House is what it looks like to me. So what does this mean for your wheat risk management strategy? What do you want to do here? It sounds like you want to be conservative.
I want to be a little bit conservative, but, you know, we've already got some stuff on the books.
Okay.
And so, but going ahead, it's like, okay, you know, other than what you absolutely have to sell, I mean, I've been recommending guys do the, you know, even the CCC loan a little bit. It's like, okay, let's everybody kind of got to get some cash flow moving. Let's kick the can down the road to when we're dealing with a tighter balance sheet. And, we get us past that first quarter of 25. And, I just think you're going to have some more favorable selling windows in that frame. So I'm kicking the, and it, like I say, it isn't without risk, because you get who knows what the political landscape is. So,
yep. You know, there's a whole generation out there that looked at their radio right now and went, "What? CCC loan?
What? Yeah, what's that?" Well, I mean, if you can drop your interest rate 4%, and you know, I mean, it's not a bad tool to look at. So.
Exactly.
If we're going to have a cash-led demand market, which I think we will, I would rather own the cash than to sell it and buy it back on paper in some form. Because I really don't trust the paper that much. I mean, wheat's such a small market, it just gets yanked around. And, you know, corn and beans, a different story. You can trust those a little more. So
I'm telling you, spoken like a true wheat trader, when you can say that you can trust the corn and soybean market a little more. That is showing your experience in wheat, no doubt. Kevin, good stuff, man. Okay, corn outlook. What are you thinking?
Well, I feel like the whole world wants to sell it about 15 cents higher. And so when the whole world wants to do something, typically it's not going to do it, at least not in the short term. So I feel like maybe we're kind of stalling out here a little bit. I was impressed with today only being down a penny. You said it earlier. It's like the market acts like it wants to go higher. It does. I just wonder how much selling we're going to find. I mean, there's some pockets with some pretty ugly basis in spots, and then and there's some pockets with some fantastic basis. So, you know, it's going to depend on that grower and where his basis stands, and is going to be very localized to start with. But the one thing to run by you here is, and corn qualifies for this so far because we're making better numbers now than we did, you know, in September, October. So 12 of 20 years, you know, we've made highs in that April to July frame. And so since we've already passed that harvest window, I feel like there's a very good odds that we're going to see some better numbers in the spring, especially if wheat can get a bid and start pulling things up instead of being an anchor. So I'm kind of the same. Wheat and corn are the same to me right now. I like the future. I like what we see. I feel like it's a cash-led, demand-led market. So, you know, like I say, CCC loan applies for that as well. You know, let's get some of those bushels out there to April, May, June, and you know, see what we're looking at, especially with, you know, we've got some a little bit kind of an anomalous weather patterns out and around this year.
Exactly. So the move that USDA made last week on the supply and demand report and pulled that carryover back, they made no changes on the demand side. Everything came off the supply side of the balance sheet. Are there some changes coming on the demand side of that balance sheet?
Well, I mean, that's going to fall into the political aspect a little bit, isn't it? I mean, you got a lot of, you look at crude oil, I mean, it's not helping us. That market, you know, given how much chaos is in the Middle East and that market still can't get any traction, to me, that's a concern, at least on the ethanol balance sheet. So you wonder, and I still feel like, despite what the stock market does, I feel like people are struggling right now. I don't think, you know, $15 meals at the local fast food joint is just something that most families of four can do anymore. So it's, I'm nervous about the energy side of it. Let's put it that way. I mean, the feed side is going to be the feed side. It's going to do what it does. I wouldn't expect major changes there, but on the energy side, I guess little word of caution there. So,
And there, you know, and we do have to be political in the conversation. I don't think there's any question about it. We at least need to consider it. Lee Zeldin it looks like he will be Trump's nomination to head EPA. And there's some history there that is going to create some volatility on the biofuels markets, Kevin. That's the way it looks to me. And with the biofuels playing such a big part, having so much influence on what corn is worth, it's volatile times ahead, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, exactly. That's precisely it. That's that change I was talking about earlier. It's like nobody knows exactly. We've all just kind of got our theories or fears or excitements about things that are coming. But in the end of the day, we still don't know anything. So we've got to, like you say, it's going to be interesting. The question is on that RFS stuff. It's like, okay, can that demand base stand regardless what they change? I mean, you know, and that was a question I read the other day and I was impressed with that. So that's a good thought. You know, is that a viable?
Yeah. And we're to the point now with we are going to be quote unquote celebrating 20 years of the RFS. 20 years. Are we celebrating 20 years of the RFS? I mean, it's done some wonderful things, but shouldn't we be looking for a market that can perform on its own at this point? And I, you know, that's a question that people are starting to ask, and I get it. I definitely understand where that question is coming from. We've only got a minute left, Kevin, but I got to ask you, what are your thoughts on soybeans here quick?
Soybeans are tougher. That's my least favorite balance sheet out of the three. I don't, and that market is just doesn't excite me the way the corn and wheat, I mean, the potential is, it's okay. I mean, I guess one big difference, I gave you that stat on corn when the highs are made, but soybeans, same thing. But problem is corn likes to make a high in September, or soybeans like to make a high in September, and we've got to get back above that before I'm going to get excited about it. So, I mean, we just keep the 2 million tons a week going on exports and we'll probably be all right.
Yeah. That will prevent things from breaking down on us. Well, I say that, but we got soybean meal down here. It's just an anchor on bean prices right now down here trading at contract lows. Man, that's hard to overcome, isn't it?
That's hard to overcome. Yeah, like I say, the soy balance sheet's just not. Yeah, I look at that and I don't get inspired.
Gotcha. All right, Kevin. Hey, man, it was good to talk with you. Good to get to know you a little bit, and I look forward to getting you back on here again, okay?
Thanks for time. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Good stuff. All right, Kevin Dooling, KD Investors. Okay, when we come back, Davis and I are going to pull some highlights from that conversation. We'll put a wrap on today's AgriTalk next.
Okay, everyone, what did you think of the chocolate bar?
It's too chewy.
Feels kind of chalky.
Too much nougat.
I need to go brush my teeth.
Business is booming for Steph's small marketing research firm.
After all these focus groups, there's only one conclusion. I need more researchers.
And she's way too busy researching.
Does this have peanuts?
To waste time researching resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like you know to check the propane tank on your grill first before hosting a tailgate.
Let's fire up.
Here, let me try.
Seriously, you didn't check the propane?
Who wants to?
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds.
Salt and vinegar.
You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliate, Smithbrook, Illinois.
Lowe's honors our military community this Veterans Day and every day. To say thank you, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get 10% off everyday purchases, plus free silver key status with MyLowe's Rewards. It's our way of showing our gratitude to the brave people who have and continue to serve our country. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
It's football season, and Uber Eats has the best deals on game day food. Whatever you're craving, from 2-to-1 pizza to buy one, get one wings, Uber Eats is dropping deals all season long. Uber Eats, official on-demand delivery partner of the NFL. Order now.
Come on in to Total Wine & More. Price is much lower than a grocery store. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates.
Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Veterans, if you were impacted by a recent hurricane or natural disaster, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is here to help. To find 24/7 info about healthcare, housing, insurance, benefits payments, and more, call 1-800-MY-VA-411 or visit va.gov/resources/disaster-help. That's 1-800-MY-VA-411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. It's your pal, Davis Michelson, along with Chip Flory, as usual.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Great conversation with a new voice there. Kevin
right.
Dooling from KD right. Investors. Huh. I like yep. that guy.
Seemed to in Oregon.
Pretty switched on. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
To change gears rather abruptly here, because if I'm a guy who needs some feed, I thought I heard somebody call meal cheap on the show today. BJ Split from agmarket.net used the word cheap. I don't know if I should be using air quotes with that, Chip, or not. What does cheap mean? And does it mean enough for me to maybe take action?
I don't think you need to use air quotes.
Okay.
To me, whenever you get that meal market around $300, and here we are with the D's at $292.90.
Yeah.
That when you look at the value of cattle, the value of milk, the value, even the value of hogs. When you look at all of that, and it becomes a cheap input. One of the nice things about cheap or cheaper inputs is my thought is you just cover it. You just cover it. If that is a manageable quota, here's my quotes. "Quote unquote acceptable level,"
uh-huh.
Yeah. If it is at an acceptable level, so that you can plug that into your break even spreadsheet and know what your cost is going to be for protein. That kind of clears the path for risk management and everything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
You still need to know your corn. But once you've got a good idea of what your inputs are going to be, then you can decide, is $86 Feb lean hogs something that I need to hedge? Is 186 live cattle futures something I should hedge? So it just helps you understand very clearly what you need to be doing with the output.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Thanks for that. Let's get into what Kevin was talking about.
big primary focus on wheat there, God bless him. He does sound like a guy who maybe spends a little bit too much time with wheat, doesn't he? When he's talking to him. You know,
I loved it.
But I did too. This guy knows his stuff. He has been there, done that, walked the talk, if anyone has, certainly here. But a 300,000 ton sale, export sale each week to him feels like some pretty okay, decent, acceptable demand
right.
that will keep the market doing what it needs to do in order to get us where we would like to be, right?
And to get the total wheat exports for the 24-25 marketing year to USDA's estimate. That's what he's really trying to do. If I got that WASD up in front of me, no, I don't. But I'll get it here real quick. And really, that's exactly what he's trying to do, is just move this thing along at a pace that will get us to USDA's wheat export estimate of just 825 million bushels.
Ooh.
You know, that's the number that I had in my head, and then I'm thinking to myself,
number.
No, it can't be that. Yeah. No, it can't be that low. You know, but it is 825 million bushels. Now that's up from a year ago, 2023-24. At 707, and even up from 2 years ago at 762 million bushels. Yeah. The one that surprises me with its lack of movement is the food category. And we talked a little bit about that with the whole white wheat bread. But the food category, 2 years ago, it was 972 million bushels. A year ago, it was 961 million bushels. Right now, USDA's got us at 966 million bushels. That's about as close to being dead smack in the middle of the last 2 years as you can get. There just isn't a lot of movement on that feed, that wheat feed used for the domestic side.
Yeah, yeah. He brought up CCC loans, which I'm going to be honest, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody mention CCC loans on AgriTalk.
Right, Commodity Credit Corporation.
Yeah.
Commodity Credit Corporation, that's the same thing as what we've been referring to, mostly in the morning show, but what we sometimes refer to as USDA's ATM machine, right?
Okay.
That's where USDA has gone on many occasions to find funding for payments to farmers, the Commodity Credit Corporation. And it's not just the current USDA. This is where the market facilitation program payments came from under the Trump administration, when they made the payments to offset the impact of China's retaliatory tariffs on U.S. soybeans. The program has been around, geez, can I say forever?
Sure.
Okay,
as far as I know, it has been. Yeah.
It's not been around forever, but it is out there. There's a loan rate out there, and I was going to look them up during the break, and I forgot to do that. But there's a loan rate out there, and Kevin said it exactly right. You can take the CCC loan out at a specific level on wheat. It's at a low interest rate, and then when you make the cash sale, that's when you pay that loan back. It's either that or you can forfeit at the loan rate. Forfeiting at loan rate hasn't been a good idea for a long time, so it's just a cash flow issue. If you need some cash flow, you can get this CCC loan. You got your cash flow and away you go. National Weather Service 6-10 day outlook, November 18th through the 22nd, has got above normal temperatures and above normal precipitation in the outlook. All right. Thank you for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. We've got a farmer forum. Chad from Illinois, Quentin from Nebraska, and we're going to have a conversation with Troy Bredenkamp from RFS right here on AgriTalk.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at theagmarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Okay, antibodies, huddle up. We're a great team, but the flu is dominating. The good news is the human we're protecting just got his flu shots. That means all of us antibodies have strong new gear that will help us fight and defend against the flu. We must win so that our human can stay healthy and help protect the people he cares about most.
Let's work as a team to defend against the flu. Gear up with a flu shot to help protect yourself and others and reduce your risk of being sick or hospitalized with the flu. Learn more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Point!
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Ugh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down,